This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
It is time for buy or sell, and since we were talking about the Rockies earlier, Mike, we might do this one a little bit later too, but how are we feeling about the revamped Rockies? Over or under 43 wins, which was what they won last year, 43. We gotta buy that, right? We gotta buy over 43. They're not gonna have one of the worst seasons in Major League Baseball history again, are they?
I'm not going to ask you again if that was a rhetorical question.
I think they're going to have sell. Over 43. It's what?
Over 43. I think they're going to have 50.
I'm obviously buying that. I don't think it can get that bad. I mean, it can get bad, but I'm not... I don't know.
It is the Rockies.
It's true, but I don't know. I don't know the answer. I like the fact that Paul DePodesta even referenced the old, you know, throw stuff up against the wall and see what sticks. I think the Rockies just kind of have to call it what it is. This has been a terrible franchise, and it's been a terribly ran franchise. Now's time to start thinking a little bit outside the box, do things a little bit differently. Also, join what other teams are doing when they really put that focus on analytics. Buy or sell, if you were forced to watch, you couldn't watch any other sporting events, Mike. You only got the Winter Olympics or the Summer Olympics. Which one are you choosing?
Winter because of hockey.
What if you took hockey out of it and you took basketball out of summer? Basically, we're talking all the strange sports that you don't watch.
Summer because of flag football.
I am watching Summer Olympics if I had to pick between the two. Winter Olympics. The stuff I'm seeing is cool. Like, the snowboarding's on right now. And it's amazing. It is really awesome. In like a video, like a 30-second clip of, whoa, look at this guy doing a flip. I don't know that I need to see that multiple times over and over again. I'm just not there. Buy or sell. After Colorado State's win last night over a bad Air Force team, they've now lost 17 in a row. But they did cover the spread, so John and Fort Collins, sorry, I steered you wrong there. They barely did. They won 91-74. Will we see? Have the Rams unlocked something? Are we going to see the Rams make a little bit of a push here the rest of the way? And I am sorry to do this, man, because I'm a diehard fan of Ali Faroukmanesh. I'm selling it. I don't. Air Force. They moved on. They have their coach who's suspended right now. They're a really bad basketball team. And the fact that this was kind of a close game for a while. I mean, it was 47-39 at the half. Air Force was making a couple of threes that just kept them in touch. Finally, Air Force, who's not very good at shooting the three, they finally started missing shots. At Lucas Haubin, he was 5 of 9. He was basically at half court. They were just launching last night. It was one of those games where it's like, we're not going to get in the paint. You know, we're not going to do much damage in there. I thought Rashawn Memba played really well. Defense in there. Jorgensen wasn't bad. But I just think Air Force was at that point where we're not winning. So we're at least just going to launch it, see what happens. I'm saying this season. Now, again, we talked about it yesterday. If CSU can finish the season and still like have an over 500 record, that's respectable. Like their whole team is different this year, more so than ever. They're still trying to find themselves. They've got a lot of young, promising talent. But I just As far as this season goes, I don't see, like, the Wyoming game's probably a push type of game. I don't see them going into Vegas and beating UNLV. I don't see the rest of the way. Like, they're not going to beat San Diego State. Fresno State's probably a toss-up. They should beat San Jose State. At New Mexico, probably a loss there. Yeah, that's a good basketball team. Home against Boise State, that's probably a loss too. So I think they'll find a way to get, you know, two or three more wins. I just don't know if that's like enough to say, yeah, this team is turning a corner. Now they were favored to win by 16.5. They covered that, and that was cool. They won by 17. Was it 16? Was it 17? They won by 17. So they did cover that. And that's what you're supposed to do. Air Force is just really, really bad. I feel for Air Force, man. How are they? Football's one thing because they have that unique style that they run. They have that triple option thing that they run, and it seems to, on a good year, it seems to really work and is going to be worth at least 6-7 wins, 8 wins. I didn't want to do that. But basketball? How is Air Force? I mean, we talk about Wyoming. Like, Air Force, that's tough, man. You can't take advantage of the transfer portal. Guys can leave. They can't come in. I don't know how their basketball program is going to succeed going forward. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Mike, coming up, we're going to catch up with Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. He is pressing a little bit of a panic button, I believe, around the Nuggets. So what he's saying in the Denver Post, they're on pace for a 23-18 home record. That would be the franchise's worst mark at Ball Arena since 2021, the 21-22 season. And that was a season where they had a ton of injuries there. I just don't know. I'm not ready to. I do believe if they're fully healthy, this is a team that could win an NBA championship. It's going to be very tough to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. But right now, I mean, Gordon's going to be reevaluated in like 5 weeks. We don't know what that's going to look like. Peyton Watson, who has proved to be a pretty incredible asset to this team, so much so we're at the point where we're trying to figure out how the Nuggets can keep him. You know, what guys are they going to have to move in the offseason? Which I think it's possible if he wants to be here. There are guys you can move that you kind of like, but unfortunately you can't have everybody that you like. But anyway, Peyton Watson has been good for this team. Somehow the Nuggets are 34-20. I'll be honest, man. I expected less given all the injuries that they've had. They did well when Joker was out, when Gordon was out, when Cam was out, when Christian Brown was out. I was shocked by that. I'm shocked that they're 34-20. I just feel like they got some soul searching to do. This is not how they're designed when you have all those guys out. And I still think Adelman's trying to figure out what kind of coach he wants to be. How does he want to utilize guys' minutes? I mean, Michael Malone had a pretty set mode. Love him or hate him, you could set your watch by when guys were going to go in and out of games. Adelman is definitely experimenting, and probably out of necessity, because you've had so many guys banged up. You do have guys kind of on a weird minute restriction. You don't want to overuse Christian Brown, who already told you, he already told the press that, hey, he came back too soon, and now he's trying to ease back into this. And he's a really good side-to-side player, really good defensive player, likes to slash, get to the rim, is an excellent finisher. That stuff really slows down when you're dealing with an ankle injury. So I'm not pressing the panic button, but I'm not sitting here saying, yeah, get ready, because this team, once they get healthy, they're going to go on a run like we've never seen. It's going to be an interesting challenge, I think, coming up for David Adelman. You know, as he tries to assert himself as a head coach and justify the Nuggets not really opening up a big-time search, seeing enough from him in the playoffs, which I signed off for. Not a lot of people thought Denver, I mean, when Malone was fired, not a lot of people thought they were going to avoid a play-in game. And not a lot of people thought they were going to beat the Clippers in the first round. And then Nobody gave them a shot to even hang in the series against the Thunder, but they did go seven. And so for to me, that was enough to say, wow, Adelman really rallied the troops here, got this team to the point where they truly believe, even though they're all banged up, man. Gordon and Porter, and we learned that Russell Westbrook had like two issues with his hand in that series. But these guys were selling out for it. And there was the worry I had with that was, are they just going to go, hey, we're hurt, we probably shouldn't even be playing. We're all going to, this thing's going to break up somewhat next year. This is our chance. And that was the worry that I had, at least, with maybe why the Nuggets were better than most people thought they would be in the end of the season and against the Clippers and ultimately against the Thunder. But the 34-20, given all the injuries, David Adelman should be given a ton of credit for that. Let's see what Keeler thinks. On the other side, it's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mike, it's Keeling Me Softly.
I know, I didn't
this
have
This is not Keeling Me
Keeler
Softly. This is the opposite of that. It's the opposite. Wow. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. I think Michael got scared because he tried to call you, Sean. It didn't go through, and then he panicked, and then we didn't get our song, man. So it's your phone's fault. It's the robot.
No, I think my phone just hates him, and I can't do anything about that. I'll talk to the phone.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but thank you for calling us and made this work.
Anything for you, brother.
Sean, how important is this All-Star break for this Nuggets team right now? It just seems like I know all the injuries, and Adelman's trying to press all the right buttons, weird rotations. This team just needs a break, a couple of days break, I think.
Yeah, I think they need time away from each other. They need time away from the court. They need time to just flush it and reset. I think the basketball gods need to give them a break, too. I mean, there's a certain amount of crazy bad hoops karma that we want to point fingers, and we can do it at rotations, we can do it at strategy, we can do it certainly in how they've closed. But I mean, some of these injuries, like, it's just like comically dark. Like, you couldn't make some of this stuff up. So, you know, like Payton Watson, he emerges because Aaron Gordon's not there. Oh, he's hurt now. Now we don't have any fours or stretch fours, stretch threes to play with. I mean, I have some sympathies for David Adelman and for some of the guys there, because this was definitely not how they drew it up, obviously. But you know what? That's why you make the big bucks, because it's about, in the case of management and coaching, it's about how you manage and get through a crisis. And they've just been in constant crisis mode, it feels like, since about Christmas, right?
Well, yeah. And I mean, honestly, they did fairly well without Joker. I didn't expect them to be at this point, but obviously we've seen what's happened with this group. And then Watson goes down. We get the bad news about Gordon. Christian Brown still kind of up and down. It's hard for me to like get too high or low on this team, because I just don't, we haven't really seen it hold. All the offseason was, you know, adding depth, adding depth, adding depth. Well, that depth has been forced to start and play way more minutes. We just haven't really seen what the plan is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, when you guys, is it less than a dozen starts for the ideal core four?
Yeah, it's insane.
If you throw Cam Johnson in there too, it's a really low number. And so, yeah, to your point, we just have no idea. It's like we haven't seen, what was it, 2021, after they made the Aaron Gordon trade, that we got those whatever 10 games with that core four, and they were just smoking people. And you're like, oh, okay, here we are. And then Maul blows out his knee, and that's the end of that. And then it's kind of year and a half, a year and two-thirds of buying time and Monte Morris and Will Barton trying to carry you from the backcourt a little bit. So I, you know, it feels like it's so compacted, and it's been such a flurry of blows that you're just sort of desensitized to the next piece of bad news. It's just like, oh, what else could go wrong? Well, we'll show you. But we don't know. I mean, it's the kind of thing where you hope that they're a top four seed. They certainly on paper have got the talent to be a top four seed, but maybe they're a completely different, you know, if they're healthy by the middle of April and beginning of April when you want to be, and maybe this is a sleeper team that comes out of that 4-5 game or something and can make a push somewhere. But it's been such a weird 6 weeks that you're almost scared what the next six are going to look like. So it goes back to your premise of, good grief, just take a break. Like make sure that nobody gets hurt at the All-Star game, because I wouldn't rule that out.
No, especially if they're actually going to play.
Especially with two guys who are actually going. Was it for the first time since 2010, whatever it is, and you got two reps. I look at that as like two more opportunities that somebody's going to have something happen to them, or somebody else will go, you know, fly fishing for a weekend and somewhere they'll be in Cabo and they'll get bit by a stingray. Or so, I mean, again, it's crazy now. So I think you're kind of clutching your rosary beads if you're David Edelman.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. And like that's the thing. For the first time in a long while since they were really, you know, since they were really becoming a playoff team, this is the most odd, I think, I felt about how my expectations are for this team right now. I just feel like we've barely got a glimpse.
Yeah, I mean, I got here at the turn of the corner, the beginning of Joker and Jamal really taking off, and I've only known the Nuggets here as a playoff team these last 7-8 years. And we're still in that phase. I don't think that changes until the Jokic era is done. But, I guess the good and bad is I don't think we know what we're going to get. I have some worries that maybe Edelman and the staff doesn't know what they're going to get. And it's just kind of been treading water to make sure you don't sink any more than you do, and then see what it looks like when you get everybody back. But then even if you do, how long is it going to be? And how do you mitigate, you know, load management? How can you have load management when half your payload gets thrown off the train, you know, every other week?
Yeah.
It just puts a lot of stress on everybody else. It kind of reminds me a little bit, and certainly this is in the column, it's at denverpost.com. They're on a home pace to be like 23-18 or something like that after this 14-11 start. And that's the record they had in 21-22. And that was the Boogie Cousins year, for people who want a shorthand, of just not much in the backcourt. And then, obviously, the next year they win the title because they've got the core. It was a weird kind of season of Joker just carrying so much load. And I believe he's the MVP that year, too, deservedly, because they didn't have much without him. And now you even haven't had him. So it's even stranger than that. And yeah, I think you're right to just kind of be like, I don't know. I think I just want to see him get healthy and get some rest. And I mean, the irony is, isn't there, if there's a team that you'd want to have an Olympic break right now, I mean, yeah, the
Avs. Yeah, longer.
Kind
yeah.
of have it down. But gosh, you almost wish you could give the Nuggets like 10 days, like, or more. Like, not just the 6 or 8 they're going to get. Like, take 2 weeks. Like, take a fortnight and get your feet up. Because right now you're on fumes and the gods don't like it.
How do you think Edelman has done? Obviously the other night was strange. I mean, I know Joker's kind of on a minute restriction. With Malone, you could set your watch by when Joker was coming out, when most of his guys were coming out, and when they were going in. Edelman is definitely searching, and I don't really blame him. I was still just confused about that last 6 minute stretch where Joker's out for half of it.
Yeah. And it's the old argument of how important is it to win these games at this point in the calendar, right? Like, again, it's the long view versus the moment. When you have a playoff sport and a long playoff series playoff sport, and this is true of the Avs too, you're kind of on two tracks, right? It's like, hey, I want to get this tonight, and also I want to make sure that I position myself really well for what everybody's going to remember in April, May, and June. You know, with Malone, the other thing is, I don't think you ever doubted the moment, right? Like, did you ever feel like he, unless they had already clinched something, I think Michael Malone's mode was, I will worry about April and May when I've made the best I can of this team, made the best of this season from you know, October to March. Like, if I'm 50-11, it doesn't – those decisions will take care of themselves. And he's right. That simplifies that. I presume Adelman's cut from the same cloth, but it hasn't always been as apparent, and he's had way more curveballs maybe than Malone ever had to deal with in such a short span that I can think of.
I think you're right.
Malone era.
Yeah.
I mean, to your point about it feeling like the weirdest 7 to 9 weeks, I can't think, certainly since 2017-18, which is where I'm coming into the picture, I can't think of a weirder 7 weeks from an injury and roster perspective, compacted, that short, a crazy stretch, than any Nuggets coach has had to deal with before this season. So, but always, yeah, Michael Malone wanted to win the game. And I think David Adelman wants to win the game. I think he also sees, you know, the engine of his entire franchise, on a pitch count. And that's a tricky balance too. But I think that's different. And it certainly, you're right with Malone. I think it would have been, I think they would have beaten the Cavs if Michael Malone coached that team. And that sounds like a slap at David Adelman. Whatever they told him to do with Joker, he probably wouldn't have listened and would have been like, look, that's one of the best teams in the East. I got to win this game.
Well, and that's what's so odd. That was the first time, you know, because there's been a couple of instances this year where I'm like, wow, I don't know if Malone pulls the right strings in that situation. I think Adelman did a great job. That Cleveland game was the first time, I think, where I really walked away from it going, huh, would Malone have won that game? Because he would have been all about the now. But there is a deep part of me that's like, man, maybe this is all part of his evil, David Adelman's evil genius here, is he isn't as solely focused on those regular season games, doing just enough to stay in touch in the top five. Who knows? But that was my first time I kind of second-guessed Adelman at this stage.
Yeah, and he's probably got more wins, David Adelman, on that front than losses. I imagine in my mental checkbook, he's well ahead in the standings too, but that was an L. I mean, let's be clear on that on a couple fronts. And I think he admitted it, too, of things he wishes he'd done differently and certainly wishes that they'd executed better. Yeah, I think some of that might be just in the youth and the inexperience as a head coach. That is anyone going to tell Michael Malone what to do at that moment when he sets his mind to it? No, one. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, you know, how much of – this roster is sort of, you don't want to say self-coached, but it's in such a good place. And when you got, you know, we joke about Coach Jokic, but I think that's a real thing. Like, that he is your point guard on the floor in every sense. I think he dictates so much with his presence and his IQ that when you don't have that, you know, it shows on a couple levels. And I think that's been a little bit of an adjustment, obviously. Without him too, and to your point, it's impressive that they were able to, and a tip of the cap to David Adelman, that they had a winning record, 10-6, 10-7, whatever it was, without him. Given his presence is kind of a remarkable thing in hindsight.
Well, they got Memphis tonight, big favorites, so you'd like for them to just take care of that one, grab their 35th win, and get into the All-Star break. Sean, while we have you earlier, you wrote a piece about, you know, the Broncos, Breece Hall. I'm 100% with you on that. I just don't know if I'm the Walter Penner Group and I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll give you all the money to go get that guy, but you got to give him the ball more than 13 times a game.
Yeah, there are two layers. There's the value for the dollar of the tailback position in the NFL, which there isn't now. I'm sorry, Phil Lindsay, love you. It's just been so knocked down. And where people are looking to save their money ball money is platooning on a bunch of seventh round and cheap tailbacks rather than paying for a star, give them the mileage. But money, cap is an issue, but they've clearly shown they can navigate one of the worst situations possible. But two, you have the richest owners in pro sports. Like, this is where you need to take advantage of that and get creative and play up all the things you have in your favor to get not just an upgrade in the running back room, but wide receiver, inside linebacker, little better depth at safety, although that was it could have been. I mean, this is where – that's the funny thing this offseason is – not only do you wish you had a better running game because there are going to be more snow games. Memo to Sean Payton, it's January in Denver. Anything could happen. It was pretty the mildest fall ever. As you know, they made up for it with like the worst weather winter game that anybody could remember for a long time. You got to be prepared for both. But when you've got this kind of ownership group, this is the 6 months where you start flexing your muscles. Right, this is the 6 months where the Walton Panther Group gets to show off. And, knock on wood, you hope that they will.
Yeah, certainly some key positions needing to be filled out. Hopefully they get it done this offseason. Keeler, always appreciate the time, my friend. Great stuff this week, available at the Denver Post. And we'll see what happens with the Nuggets tonight. And then the All-Star game, I'm kind of interested in right now. And I think Jamal Murray for some of that. The ads during the Super Bowl certainly didn't hurt, but I'm the most excited, I think. I'm not really excited, but this is the most I've ever been, in a long time.
Compared to the Pro Bowl, the All-Star game,
oh my gosh,
is like, like class. It's like there's something to get excited about relative to how the NFL does it. So I'll enjoy keeping an eye on that and a little bit on the Winter Olympics as well. You have a great weekend, my brother.
All right, man. You too. Always appreciate it. Bye-bye. Sean Keeler. That was Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler from the Denver Post, but Michael didn't get the song done. I just saw this, Mike. This is a bummer. This is a tough story. James Vanderbeek, who played Dawson in Dawson's Creek and Jonathan Mox in Varsity Blues, the quarterback, the backup quarterback that became a star, has passed away. I know he was dealing with cancer. He had cancer. And he just passed away, man. I mean, we jokingly say things about that movie and the accents in the movie. It is an amazing movie. It's one of the great sports movies of all time, in my opinion. Anytime Varsity Blues is on, I'm watching it. And I grew up with three sisters, so Dawson's Creek. Who am I kidding? That was just a great show, man. Dawson, Pacey, the gang, all of them. They were excellent. James Vanderbeek passed away. Did you see Varsity Blues? You didn't watch Varsity Blues?
I did not. I think we've gone over this before.
Well, that will be a part of our Brady and Michael review movies during the summer because there's not as much to talk about, so we have more time on our hands.
I'm trying to look and see if I've seen anything that he's in.
I think it was those two things. Like, he did other stuff, but I don't think anything popped. Like the series he was in the late 90s and Varsity Blues. So if he is, then forgive me, I just don't know. But James Vanderbeek, man. He was a big-time star because that show was, I mean, love it or hate it, that was a big show. Drove a lot of ratings. So, man, rest in peace to James Vanderbeek. And he was very positive throughout the whole process, doing videos, encouraging other people. I just happened to catch all that. So that's a tough one. 38 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
There's only one feeling. Like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Do you have the game on in there, Michael?
I do not.
You don't have Sweden and Italy on there, so you didn't get to see Gabriel Landeskog score a goal to tie it, and now Sweden, I believe, is up 2-1.
Go Sweden. I did see it during the break.
Did you say go Sweden? That's not very American of you. It's anti-American.
No, it's not.
Whoa!
You just said go anti-American. Sweden. I'm rooting for Sweden over Italy.
Yeah, but you said go Sweden. So
go Sweden.
For as much crap as you give me about Serbia.
Yeah, but you root for Serbia over America.
There's no way you can prove that.
You've said it before.
That, when did I say that?
Last time the Olympics were on.
That doesn't sound like me. You might want to check your facts. But good for Gabriel Landeskog. Seeing him back out there on the ice. Hopefully he's okay, though. Do you worry about that at all? Or is this is obviously he wasn't playing for the Avs, but he's good for this. So I get that there's like this overriding thing, Mike, that this circumvents everything. Like, you are going to play for your country, especially when it comes to hockey. Don't you think that means more to these guys, to hockey players, winning gold than winning a Stanley Cup?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think it. Well, then why?
I think it depends on the country.
I mean, it's always, you know, it's very, very rare that you're going to get this opportunity. But
I think in America, it's like, I don't know. I think America is just different. It's like we want our team to
maybe
win
in hockey,
but like we want our country to win, but also we really want our team to win too. But I think for Sweden, Swedes want Sweden to win more than they want the Avalanche to win.
Faith just texted in, and this is a good question, Mike. How is he good for the Olympics and not the Avs?
The Olympics probably less physical.
Really? Do you think he could have probably played for the Avs, but maybe was kind of like, I got to reserve something in the tank here? Because I'm telling you, man. I think when it comes to hockey, it means the Olympics mean a little bit more.
I think for some countries.
And I think there's probably, do you think there's probably like an understanding with coaches in the NHL when it comes to this?
Definitely, yeah.
Where it's like, hey man, you're not healthy enough to play for us. You probably could go, but you're reserving yourself for the Olympics. There's like an unwritten rule there, I believe.
Yeah, probably. Since so many of them are Canadian, eh?
With basketball, it always kind of bug. It was kind of like Jamal Murray when he was playing for Team Canada at the beginning of last year. It was like, man, you were banged up all year. Is that a good idea? But
because basketball is more of an American sport, it's like American first, and it's slowly become worldwide. Hockey still feels more foreign.
Well, Jamal played for Team Canada, but I don't know what your point was there. But I think he was really passionate about playing. Joker, very passionate about playing for Serbia. And I remember being a little hesitant rooting for guys to actually play in the Olympics because for me, this is secondary. This, to me, as a fan, if you ask me gold medal for Team USA or Stanley Cup for the Avalanche, 100,000,000% of the time, I will tell you, Stanley Cup for the Avalanche.
Yeah, and I think this is more of an American look at it. Americans, we kind of are rooting. I think for us Americans, there's so many sports for us that the Olympics are more secondary.
Yeah, that's right.
The Olympics are kind of like, you know, it's a topping on the gigantic cake of sports.
Well, for us too, like the NBA is, that's the king of the castle when it comes to basketball. In other countries,
they have G League.
They have a lot of leagues, a lot of different leagues, you know, and there's tons of games to watch and such, but there is something more powerful about beating other countries. There's more, I don't know if you say more pride is right to say, but that's probably part of it.
There's more, I think, country pride night. It's just weird. Cultures are very different. Like, our patriotism sometimes is frowned upon, and sometimes if you're not, quote, patriotic, you're frowned upon.
Yeah,
but like in other countries, like if you are a soccer fan, that is patriotic because that is
those guys,
a part of their culture.
They get crazy about that, man. I mean, they get crazy about basketball, too. Like, Joker asked if he ever got nervous in an NBA game. He's like, dude, I played in Serbia. Like, you go look at the videos of the crowd. They're all chanting in unison, all dressed the same. It's kind of intimidating. And these are nasty fans, too. They can get nasty toward the players. It's not just trolls and social media like we have here. These guys, they can get pretty fierce watching their games.
So are they all like Jokic brothers, the Serbs?
What do you mean?
Like, Jokic's brothers are pretty nasty dudes. Like, are you saying that the Serbs can kind of all be like Jokic brothers?
They're nasty when people mess with their brother. Like, they're not just up there messing with fans. If there's fans chanting crap at Joker or players are going at Joker and there's a fight, they get nasty.
I want to see that happen again.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. 48 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. Coming up next, what did we learn as we wrap up another edition of The Hull Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
UVA One Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, what?
What did we learn on this 11th day of February? We learned that it's maybe too soon to panic about the Nuggets, but also too soon to book your parade parking spot. We're just kind of in no man's land, I feel like, with the Nuggets. And we learned, hey, maybe the CSU Rams have still a little bit left to give in this first season under Ali Faroukmanesh. And we also learned that Michael told us that he has a friend, or had a friend, named Jimmy Long. We learned that today. Michael, what did you learn today?
I learned that Germany has a luge sled team.
I think a bunch of them do.
Yeah, I don't know what the luge is.
It was like a bobsled, but a smaller one, kind of.
Yeah, two people on it.
Two people on it. Something you and I are probably not going to do anytime soon.
No, I don't want to go that fast ever.
Yeah, well, I was more talking about, like, yes, cuddling up on a tiny little chair, but you know, you go that route. That'll do it for us, Michael. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.